For March the 12th, 2021, we talk about Valheim, Noshia, and we ask you about easy games that are still fun. Welcome to Level 363. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Dave Meisweth.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. We are back. Welcome back, David.
Hey, good to be back. How's life been treating y'all?
Doing okay. How are things down south?
Relatively warm.
Good. No, we've got things warming up here, and I am looking forward to getting out into some woods trails a little bit later.
I've actually been doing a fair amount of hiking around here, so that's actually been one of the high points.
Nice.
So now we do hikes.
Yeah. Just we do hikes. We don't do anything. That's crass.
Yes, we now indeed do hikes.
what kind of trails are down there? I have no idea what the terrain is. Is it like woods or what?
Yeah, so woods, a lot of limestone around here, so a lot of some like kind of, I don't know what you call them, like limestone waterfalls, things like that. They've got some, I guess, small mountains around here. So that's what we've kind of been doing.
Nice. Not bad. Yeah.
How are the people in Huntsville with respect to like COVID stuff?
It's mixed. There's a lot of people not, wearing masks, that sort of thing, which is kind of too bad. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't go out. So
that's a smart thing.
I've been here what?
A little shy of a month about, now, right?
Yeah, about a month now, and I still have not needed to go to the gas station.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The way to do it.
So to give you grant my car gets good gas mileage, but that gives you an idea of how much I am or am not going out.
Yeah. No, I only fill up my car once about twice a month. So
you should start siphoning gas from others so you can continue the streak of not going to the gas station.
Yeah,
that could be a thing.
Nice. Dennis, how about you?
I'm good. I too have been taking advantage of the warmer weather, and we went to the zoo over the weekend.
Ah, dang. I love the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah. For anyone not familiar, Cincinnati has one of the best zoos in the country.
If you only know the Cincinnati Zoo because of the unfortunate incident in the gorilla pen, familiarize yourself with Fiona the Hippo.
Yes,
but if you know the Cincinnati Zoo through the movie Anomalisa, then this is kind of a funny recommendation.
Is it?
Yeah. The joke of the movie is that everybody talks about the Cincinnati Zoo in Cincinnati.
Yes, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm fitting that stereotype, but you have to register for a start time for when you can show up, and it wasn't very crowded there. But like the anxiety of walking around a space like that and just trying to like keep your head on a swivel, who's not wearing a mask, like how do I steer my family away from them, and like then you get in your head of like, all right, well, we're outdoors, and so if these people are truly just kind of parked at that bench for a little bit eating lunch with their kids, which they totally could be doing, it's cool they don't have masks on, or like, but am I the, like, then you're trying to like, I don't know. I was just so in my head walking around. Like,
no, the question you were going to ask is, am I the asshole for being worried about this? No, you didn't make it anybody else's problem. You didn't tell anybody.
Exactly.
Didn't get anybody's face. Yeah.
Yes, I didn't do that. The question was like, how much of my mental energy right now do I want to spend assessing whether someone is correctly or incorrectly choosing to take their mask off in a moment. And if I just deem it incorrectly, like, am I going to do something about it? So how much, it's just like, we had a great time. It was a wonderful trip. It's good to get out. But I got to the end of it just being like, oh my God, the energy I invested in that.
I give myself a lot of slack when it comes time to decide if I'm being too anxious about the stuff. I think all of us are not necessarily responsible for how tightly wound we might be on a given day or a given moment,
But yeah, just go in terms of judging people for not wearing masks, no maximum. Judge as much as you want.
Fair enough. There were a couple undernosers though, and those I judged without hesitation.
But I mean, if you have an undernoser, or God forbid a chin strapper, what they're saying is, I believe in magic. Like, I can just put this, as long as the mask is somewhere near an orifice, then everybody's okay. It's like, no.
What they're declaring is, I don't know how physical things work.
Germ theory,
my
3 month
old has figured out. Oh, go ahead.
Which, to be fair, like, I've learned is actually a thing.
Yeah, it's that's rough to see. So they're out there. I'm sure everyone has seen this post in one social media or another, but it takes less time to train a toddler, potty train a toddler, than it does for you to figure out how to put the mask on. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should not be that hard.
See anything good at the zoo? Like, well, any good exhibits they had going on?
Yeah. They just added a kangaroo valley.
Oh, dang.
You literally get in the pen with the kangaroos.
Oh, like, that sounds just really dangerous. Oh my God.
Yeah, I could have been in mortal peril. All I know is that the staff seemed cool letting us walk into the kangaroo pen.
Okay.
And there's like a path through it, and they're just hanging out. There's no fence, there's no nothing. It's just you're in there with the kangaroos. Which is great. Like, they tell you stay on the path, and Luke got up probably within like 4 or 5 feet of one. I wasn't going anywhere because I don't want to die.
Right.
He can do that if he wants.
He's
six. He knows how to handle his life.
It's more likely that the kangaroo would take him and pop him in a pouch and raise him as his own.
Boy stuffed into kangaroo pouch.
Yep.
And I mean, to be fair, at that point, that's like, a superhero origin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But
yeah, that was delightful. The kangaroo pen.
Yeah. My favorite was the giraffes when I went there. 6 years ago.
That is good. Did you feed them lettuce?
No, the line was very long. Very long for lettuce. Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun being near them, having my own little Last of Us moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, well, do you
call me Joel? What? Just call me Joel.
Last of Us.
What's that?
Do you kill giraffes in Last of Us?
They get better.
Wait,
they're taking over the town.
Kill giraffes at the zoo?
Well, no,
don't spoil The Last of Us 2, all right?
I mean, kill is the only verb in Last of Us, so no, if there were giraffes...
There's a famous scene where you encounter some giraffes that are have gone wild from the zoo and are not afraid of people, so they're just, like, curious about you, and you... Your characters, like, pet them. It's, the majesty of nature moment before you realize that they've taken over the goddamn city.
The giraffes of us.
Yes. So, this is a whole thing. It was a whole bit on the Last of Us episode of Watch Out for Fireballs about the giraffes. People who are listening know. Ben, how about you?
Wait, so there's a Watch Out for Fireballs episode of The Last of Us, and also a bonus level of The Last of Us?
Yes, there is.
We need somebody to, like, cross-analyze these and see if your opinions have changed.
Maybe. The difference of, 8 years between them? Mm-hmm. 2013 to 2021? Yeah.
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 8 years, 2019 through 2020.
Yep, 17 years between those two. Yeah. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. To piggyback on it getting warmer and stuff, today was the first day I got to go outside in a hoodie.
Ooh,
felt great. I was a little bit cold, but I did it anyway, so yeah, I don't know, boring week though, nothing too exciting, no no shenanigans or anything. So
yeah. What about monkey shines?
No monkey shines.
No fufuras?
Wait, what is that?
Hullabaloos?
No hullabaloos for sure.
Okay.
Kerfluffles?
Right. Yeah.
Nah. No kerfluffles.
Surely at least a lark.
Wait, is a lark a fun thing?
I think it's kind of bird.
Well, that too. But birds are fun things.
Birds.
True. Birds are fun. Yeah, yeah.
Unless they're like those velociraptor birds.
Right. Ostriches?
Wait, this segment has gone off the rails. Dinosaurs are birds, though? They have feathers, I know.
Birds are...
Birds are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that we eat them.
Wait, we eat birds?
Some of us do.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, chickens!
Wait, did you forget chicken? Chicken were birds.
I mean, I guess they count.
That's problematic.
Yeah. Somebody canceled us. I don't know. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they live. Their priorities are inscrutable to us. But somebody canceled us for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. I've got nothing much going on over here. Basically in the quest to maximize the time that I could be playing a game, I grabbed I don't know what you would call it. Like, it's a little enclosure for your phone that has controller bits on either side of it. You know, like a thing you put your phone in that turns it into like a Game Boy or a Switch or whatever.
Yeah, swanch.
Yeah, it's a swanch. Because what you can do is there are apps for remote play for my non Nintendo consoles, so Xbox, Steam on PC and PS4, you can do remote play, kind of like you used to be able to do with your Vita. I imagine you might still be able to do it with your Vita. I've been having fun doing that on my phone, playing some console stuff while I've been, you know, laying down, winding down from the day, which is nice. But that is just more video game stuff.
I like the way that you phrased it. The maximum amount of time you could be playing video games, not necessarily maximize the amount of time you are playing video games.
Yes, you maximize opportunity is the thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotta get that opportunity cost.
Does this apparatus have two triggers on each side?
Yes.
Okay, then it is miles ahead of the Vita.
Yeah. And
does it have left sticks or analog sticks that click?
Yes.
Okay, then it is eons ahead of the Vita.
Right. You don't have to map stuff to back, to back touchpads or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. For anyone who doesn't know, the Vita, you had to use the touch screen to approximate all those things. And it was abysmal. The only game that ever did Vita control kind of approximation well was Destiny 2.
Oh, did they kind of account for it?
Yeah, and they changed the control setup, and I never told it that I was playing on the Vita, so they must have like coded in that something that detected it, and then would switch over the control scheme to work with only two shoulder buttons.
Nice,
and it worked really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And no one else did it. So, mom.
Yeah, and then they canceled the Vita forever. Good system, the Vita. Yeah,
was it because the Vita didn't know that birds were dinosaurs?
Yep.
Oh, no, it's because the Vita didn't know that chickens were birds. You filthy.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
the only other thing, I took Dottie to the vet this morning, not for a serious thing, just there was a little issue that popped up, and she did a very good job. I wasn't inside.
Did the
they
vet
could have been
tell you that Dottie is the dinosaur.
Can she open doors?
Kinda. I mean, if it's kind of cracked, she can push it open, you know, when she they could have been lying to me. They could have just been trying to make me feel good, because I know for a fact what happens when I try and hold her down to do something with her. And I don't know, maybe their bar is real low, but
there are like doggy daycares, I'm convinced, because we took our old dog in Austin to one, and they gave him like dog of the day the first time we took him there, and like, absolutely no way this dog was well behaved, like it's the worst dog ever, but they're just like giving it to you to make it seem like, oh, he works, he's really good at this place, we should take him there again.
Oh, is yeah, he's thriving there.
Yeah, this is Jeter.
Yes. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're bleeding as they hand him back to you.
What was bad about Jeter?
He was he had zero loyalty. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, and like he was a very selfish dog. Don't get me wrong; like dogs are great, and he was fine. But like, if he had any choice between doing something to better himself versus being loyal to his owners, he would choose to better himself like every time.
Very, very, very mercenary dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like some banter. So I think that we should get on with the regular kind of show. What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the M boss. And why don't we get started with
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. David, I'm going to throw to you first. What you been playing, bud?
Wow. So, yeah, I've been playing a number of things. So I actually beat The Forest, which I think I spoke about some last time.
Yeah, horror-themed survival game, first person, going around punching trees. You had zombies encroaching on your territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Surprised there's a win condition.
Well, yeah, so basically you, at the very start of the game, the zombies kidnap your little boy, and so you're trying to rescue them and just, you know, kind of more generally figure out what's going on the peninsula that you're on. And so eventually you figure it out and do some stuff.
Sidestepping the spoilers.
So yeah, it's one of those games where you do things. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, those, it's an edgy decision, but I respect them for taking it. The game gets really even more weird in kind of its final act, and actually gets a little maybe excessively dark, but you know. And it actually has two endings, so there's at the very end there's a moral choice you can make.
Huh, nice.
So but it's actually pretty good. It you know, the storyline is pretty good, especially considering the you know, that's not something that, you know, survival open world games tend to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
And there's also some really actually fairly neat sort of ambient, you know, environmental storytelling in it. So some things you can figure out with like the details of how the cannibals behave, and like some of their motivations, those sorts of things are actually kind of neat. Other than that, kind of the weirdest thing about it, though, is the kind of core of the game actually ends up being exploring this vast interconnected cave network that takes place under the archipelago. So it's kind of funny, the you know, handling the darkness and like ability to see you know, and find your way actually ends up being like, you know, wasn't just the first thing I noticed about the game, but ends up like actually being the core of it.
Yeah.
To the point where, to a pretty significant degree, probably the most effective way to engage with the game would be to simply ignore the actual survival mechanics and just explore all of the caves.
Okay.
So that's, you know, kind of funny, but.
So is this a game where like playing with all the lights off is a noticeable buff?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Or turning the brightness up on the game.
Yeah, so even with it all the way bright, it was very difficult, especially because, you know, if you actually use any lights in the game, so like a torch or anything like that, it kind of simulates the fact that that tends to, you know, throw everything else into shadow. So yeah, but you know, overall the combat's fairly serviceable, that sort of thing. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a fun game. I would recommend it.
Yeah, this this is not the kind of game I expected it to be. If it has, you know, an ending like this,
yeah.
It sounds closer to like a Subnautica.
It's very very similar. In a lot of ways, extremely similar to Subnautica. And you know, it's interesting. One of the two endings explicitly sets up for a sequel, and my understanding is, I think that's actually in development and has pretty close to release. So that should be pretty exciting.
Is it like kind of like vacuous, like you just watch a cutscene, or is it like, do you feel like it's a meaningful choice at the end of the game?
I mean, can I just spoil it?
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. Listeners should jump ahead 30 seconds if you care about this. Actually, jump forward to 26:45 to avoid spoilers.
So basically, what you find is that the island has some sort of artifact on it that allows you to resurrect someone from the dead.
Okay.
Ooh.
And so there's a, you know, umbrella style lab researching this, and ultimately your son was kidnapped because one of the you know, you have to sacrifice someone in order to make the, you know, bring someone else back.
Life.
That's why you know, someone brought down your plane and, you know, kidnapped your son. And by the time you find him, he's dead.
Oh, geez.
And so you basically have to, you ultimately get to like the control room. There's inexplicably another artifact that it's only explained power is the ability to make planes crash. Presumably it has other powers.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a, you know, plane, you know, flying over the island at that time that has like, you know, some toddlers on it. And so you have to decide to either cause the plane to crash and, you know, sacrifice one of the kids, or, you know, shut down the basically the system.
And the twist is, when you make it crash, it's you and your son.
Time loop.
So the version where you make it crash, basically it then skips ahead a year later, you've been rescued, but kind of the plot thing is the artifact has a risk of causing these like Dead Space style mutations. And so it's kind of skips ahead to your son's an adult and is you know, researching a apparent site B in order to try to like head off the mutations he's experiencing or something. If you go with the other thing, just to make things even more depressing, you get the ability to craft sort of like Wilson from was it Castaway or whatever, survival
new son
style models of like your family.
Oh,
God. Tight.
Cool.
So why isn't there an option for sacrificing a cannibal to bring your son back?
So Yeah, I mean, initially you attempt to sacrifice the dude's little girl.
Oh, geez, so it has to be a kid.
Yeah, so it implies that it has to be roughly the same age.
Interesting.
But she like freaks out and turns into a Dead Space monster, and you have to fight her.
This is remarkably directed for something that I assumed was kind of a, we'll talk about it later, but a Valheim only darker.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably my favorite thing, and this is kind of what I was implying, but, that I find interesting is, at various places. So the person who kidnapped your, son is this guy who's dressed, who's basically like shirtless and is painted entirely in red paint. And, you know, as you're playing,
not blood, but red paint.
Well, as you're playing, there's various points where you can kind of do the G-Man sighting.
Okay. And, so he's watching you.
And also you can various places find cans of red paint. And if you use them, you'll temporarily paint yourself, and the mutants will basically switch to being afraid of you. And then later on, you finally get to the lab and find that, like, you know, all of the entrances and all of the locked doors, stuff like that, are painted the same shade of red, and, you know, basically implies that, you know, they did some sort of conditioning as a security measure.
Okay.
And so it's just, there's like little things like that that are just kind of like never explicitly said, but you can read between the lines to kind of get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's got a lot of really cool things.
That was more than 30 seconds of spoilers, so we'll cut forward to this point right here. No, don't worry. I'll put in a little time code there at the start of it. No worries. By mentioning what happens at the end of this, you actually kind of like, this sounds like a cool one to stream sometime, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's multiplayer too, right?
Yes, it is.
I'll kill cannibals with you, Cole.
Let's talk.
Yeah. Sounds like you'll be doing more than just cannibals.
Well, you know, based on what's happening in the story that David, yeah. Well, yeah, also killing trees. It's a forest after all.
I mean, the trees had it coming. The one thing I can't figure out is where it's supposed to be set, because you fight, or, you know, the animals include rabbits, deers, wild boar, raccoons, but also sharks and alligators.
Huh.
It makes it sound like North Carolina.
Yeah, so I mean, it is. It's actually, I do know where it's canonically set, in Canada.
But sharks, that's weird.
Yeah, yeah. So that is one thing I do like about it is, again, one of the things you can find if you like track down some certain like magazine articles and stuff like that, is your character is apparently kind of an in-world equivalent of like Survivor Man type of thing, you know, a TV survival person, which explains why you're able to just immediately be like, oh yeah, I know how to start a fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, apparently canonically Canada with all of their sharks.
Nice. The forest. It sounds good. Yeah. What else?
So other than that, I checked out Game Pass added Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
Oh, nice. Did you play the original?
I did not. So my understanding is that this one, from what I've read on a couple articles, they basically wanted to make a version of Super Hot that would be have more replay value and kind of designed for longer term play. And so whereas the first one was completely bespoke, sorry about that. Whereas the first one was completely bespoke, this one is somewhat procedurally generated.
Okay.
And then also this one apparently has like power-ups and, you know, kind of a roguelike mechanics to it. Which is interesting. So for example, you can get the ability where everything you throw basically explodes.
So you're like Master Shake.
Wow, that's been a while.
I've recently been watching Aqua Teen because it's a good show, and also it's on HBO Max.
I mean, why wouldn't you? And similarly, you know, things like you know, starting each level with a random gun, you know, guns reload faster, you know, things like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is my first time playing. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm not necessarily very good at it, but
I get the sense that it's kind of made with the original campaign in mind, most likely, because that's definitely the case with Super Hot VR.
It does not
ease you into it outside of like initially getting you used to manipulating things in the virtual space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the case. You know, there's also with the roguelike mechanics, there's, you know, a lot more, or, you know, there's both scenarios where you can be in, you know, kind of unfair situations because you got bad rolls, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also scenarios where you have things that can kind of tip the playing field.
Yeah.
So, for example, you can choose one perk to take in with you. And the one I'm doing is you can basically just like almost like teleport across the stage and like punch someone.
Okay.
Good perk. Good perk. Dope.
Yeah. So, and so it allows you a lot to, you know, get out of a situation where, say, you know, someone, a bad guy has a gun and you don't have any way to close on them, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody who is not aware of Super Hot's kind of thing, it's such a huge indie game that maybe that's not possible, but time only moves when you move. So the ability to cross distance without actually walking, like, you know, if you are trapped in a situation where any time moving forward will kill you, walking will cause it to move forward and you will die. So this is like, this would be a way to, you know, get out of those jams without moving things forward in a way that will doom you.
Right.
Is there still a Captain America type level where you're in an elevator with like, want to kill you?
Oh, I haven't gotten to that yet. So it's kind of interesting. From what I can tell, like each stage is sort of a gauntlet type thing, where you'll be randomly placed in several levels that'll have a theme. So it'll be like disco, police station, stuff like that. I've not seen elevator yet, though.
So what's the disco police station like?
Oh, you know. It's the village people, right?
A lot of roller cops.
Yeah.
But do you know, in previous versions, could you like use the katana to deflect bullets back at people, things like that?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that before. But okay, I'm primarily familiar with the VR version.
That's definitely a thing now. And cool. Can be selectively overpowered, although that's kind of this game's thing, is like everything is selectively overpowered.
Selectively overpowered meaning like overpowered in very particular circumstances, or?
Yeah, so it's things where like it's overpowered in that, you know, theoretically you have time control power, so like you should never lose, but that's not how it works out.
Yeah.
And so like with this, if you have the katana, you know, theoretically you can just go around deflecting everyone's bullets back at them. But if you're not careful and get in a situation where there's like, you know, people shooting at you from both sides, or you know, say like a shotgun blast where it's, you know, a whole cloud of bullets, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of relying too much on any one strategy can kind of come back to bite you.
Yeah, so this stuff was situationally useful.
Right, exactly.
Nice. Super hot mind control delete. I had intended to go back to that, and I forgot that there was a roguelike element to it.
Yep.
Super hot going to be like the next Skyrim, where they just keep making the same or similar game for different platforms.
I want super hot for Alexa.
I think they'll keep doing it as long as they can keep think of, you know, computer related puns.
So nice.
Other than that, the only other thing I've been playing is I reinstalled Remnant. So we should co-op the things.
I agree. I've completely forgotten about that game, although someone else is playing through it as well. I was like, I enjoyed that game. I should go back to it.
Yeah, no, we're doing it for Bonfire Side Chat.
Yeah, now is a good time to do so.
Yeah.
So how are you dealing with the procedurally generated aspects? Are you just kind of playing through again and again?
The adventure mode makes it easier. I don't know if you had played since they added that, but the idea being that you can just roll up a new camp, like a new series of levels within a particular biome, without affecting your main campaign progress, and you take your character into that. Because all of the loot and enemies scale to you anyway, it doesn't really matter. So, like, I went through Earth, and I was like, I'd like to see more. There are more bosses, just so I could talk about it. So I would like to talk about it. So I just ran through a couple of the adventure mode ones, you know, also as a way to, like, level up and get my gear in a better position. So, you know, it's less like going through and talking about, like, oh, here are the considerations that they made when they designed this space, because obviously they didn't do that, but more like this is, you know, what differentiates Earth from these other biomes. This, you know, these are the dungeons that we hit. These are the bosses that we fought, stuff like that.
So if you haven't already, the one encounter that I would highly recommend not missing is on Earth, the laboratory where you get the Leto's armor. Have you played that yet?
I have not gotten Leto's armor, but I have gone to Leto's lab.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe the armor just didn't drop, or I didn't find it, but like that was a good little story beat.
Sure. Did you use the teleporter?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no use being coy. Did I make a mistake by using the teleporter?
No. So basically what you have to do is set up the teleporter to not work correctly.
Oh, to send you to a different place?
Right. It'll send you to random places, and one of them is where you get the armor.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I definitely didn't do that.
But so that's it's one of the more interesting armors because it's like a tank armor. Mm-hmm. But more relevant though, I just like the way they kind of do the creepy like Ship of Theseus thing on that.
Oh yeah, just like in the story details. Yeah,
yeah, where you can see what happens to you after the teleporter.
Oh God, can you?
Oh, so did you not see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so they make it very explicitly. This is not a teleporter. This is a cloner, and they kill the original copy.
Oh, okay. So they kind of soma it. Huh.
Yeah, and so you can straight up, like, and this might be you have to, like, teleport to a specific spot.
Uh-huh.
You'll teleport and then, like, see your original body, like, drop down to the body pile.
Oh God! Yeah,
you got prestiged.
I think I can go back. I think that biome is still available to me. I think I can go poke around at it. So neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that's meant to be gone through multiple times, so I would be surprised if you can hard lock yourself out of anything.
Oh yeah, you definitely can't hard lock your way
out. Yeah, yeah, just you can probability lock yourself out, just like, nope, didn't get it on this roll, do it the next time. Yeah. Or maybe not. Didn't happen that time. Maybe it'll happen this time. Nope, it didn't. Maybe it'll happen next time. Stuff like that. Oh, nice.
Gambler's fallacy.
Yeah. Where are you at in Remnant, David?
So I'm on the about to kill the guardian of the swamp area.
Corsus? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've just been kind of took some time to go back and get some of the skills I'd miss, that sort of thing.
Cool. Nice. And is that all you had?
That's all I got.
Cool. I'll do mine because it should be pretty quick. Jala will be happy to know that I finished the first Phoenix Wright game, so we can get that on the books when she is refreshed, because it has been so long. I finished that so I could not feel as bad when I went back to Stardew Valley. and I have continued doing that. I've gotten to I finished the community center, and I've gotten to the new content from the 1.5 patch, Ginger Island, which is much more substantial than I thought.
It's a weird name for a game, by the way. Ginger Island.
Yeah.
Is that where, like, everyone has red hair? Or
it's where they send people like me. no. It's just what it's called. It's like a tropical island. After you finish the community center, the fisherman guy says, like, hey, I've got this boat that we can fix, and I can take you out to this new place now that the town is on the right track or what have you. And you go out there. Initially, it's deserted. There's like no people. There's just like a little wild boy who won't talk to you. And the entire tropical island is overrun with these parrots. And there's very few places you can go.
And you find a caving system, and there's cannibals there.
Yep. And you wake up, you're in the forest. you can go to a volcano, which is like a tough combat dungeon kind of thing, but a lot of what you are doing, and this is a little bit disappointing, you unlock different places around the island and kind of get it up into working shape by finding these items called golden walnuts. It's like a like a shitty little scavenger hunt. It's like, oh, there's a part of the ground here that looks kind of strange. There's a little circle of stones. What's in the middle of this? If I dig here, oh, there's a walnut, stuff like that. And when you get these, you take them to the parrots. And then if you pay them, the right amounts, they unlock different things. And it's not like insubstantial what they'll unlock for you. Basically, it ends up being almost like a new Pelican town. That's the town from the base game. It's not a town run by pelicans. but like you, you can renovate a farmhouse, and then all of a sudden you have a second farm where you can grow any crop at any time of year because it's an island. You can unlock a quarry. The dungeon acts kind of like the mine, where you can go and fight stuff, fight enemies for drops and things like that. Like, and at the top, there's a place where you can do special upgrades on your weapons and tools and stuff like that. So it's not a bad idea to go and unlock stuff. And I'm about probably halfway through unlocking things. I just really wish it wasn't like a dumb little like search and collectible kind of thing. Like, it feels really like Banjo-Kazooie to me. yeah, which I don't care for that kind of collectathon kind of thing.
But this is a free update, right?
This is a free update, yes. So I don't, you know, I'm not like out anything. And, you know, I can just and do what I did, which is go on the wiki and find the locations where the ones are at. There's some of them that you get, like there's 15 you can get by, you know, going through the volcano mine. There's a bunch you can get by farming land, you know, at the little farm there, and by fishing and stuff like that. and you only need to find about 100 to unlock like the special store to get the best kind of stuff about it. I don't like that it was a little scavenger hunt. Also, like some of the like the equivalent of the museum, there's only a few items that it takes, but there's a board that's just like, how many purple flowers on there on the island, and then you have to go around the island and like count how many purple flowers are in the scenery.
Ooh.
It's just, yeah, like it's, you know, beautiful stuff, and there's lots of farmland, and you, like, it would be really lucrative to set stuff up. It's just like the challenges that are put there are like, I don't know. It's kind of like just, it's just Baby Town Frolics kind of a little bit for me.
So you know? It kind of reminds me of the seashells from Link's Awakening.
Mm. Maybe, yeah, like the seashells for the what was that? Was it a black market or was it a casino?
I don't honestly know. I completely forget what you unlocked with them, but I remember you had to get a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah. It led to me digging up every diggable spot on the island. Yeah, it's very similar to that. Yeah, so that is a little bit of a bummer, but there's still stuff back in the main game that I have not accomplished yet. I'm getting my operation going. I've set up the automated farm with the Junimo huts to do the automated automated harvesting and stuff like that. And yeah, I will just continue playing until I get bored and put it down. Any questions about Stardew Valley?
It'd be a fun twist if you like start do an expansion where you start like building a company, like a small store of your own, and then that becomes the corporation, the Joji Corporation or whatever. Uh-huh.
And then one of my employees goes off and starts his own farm. Continues, yeah. Again.
Shake your head at them.
Are you playing this primarily from bed on a Switch? Where are you? Like where's the location?
Just around. The Switch kind of follows me around the house. Some of it's in bed, some of it's just like if I'm, you know, if it's 10 minutes in between something, I'll do like a day in Stardew Valley. It's just, you know, just kind of snacking on it as I go.
Very cool.
The other thing that I have been playing, this is new. So I like Among Us, but I get stressed out by the idea of playing with friends. So I was really happy to see that a single player Among Us was released. It's really interesting. So this is a game. It's for the Switch. It's called Gnosia. It is GNOSIA. Gnosia.
We want our name to be ungoogleable.
It's the root word Gnostic or Gnosticism. Gnosia.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was recently translated and brought over here, originally Japanese kind of game. It plays and looks a lot like a visual novel. The way that they accomplish this, so the setup is you are on a spaceship, and there is some kind of alien organism called the Gnosia that mimics people, and you are one of the many people on the ship, and there's a really big cast of characters, and you know, some number of you are infected, you know, you're compromised, and every day you have to figure out who it is that is that is the imposter. Think, okay, Among Us, you're going around and everybody's doing their little tasks. Like you can see somebody running away. You can see somebody running away from the murder site, things like that. With this one, it's more like Werewolf, you know, or Mafia or any of those games where you deliberate and then the murder happens at night. Well, people don't get killed. They disappear. So if you put the wrong person into hypersleep or whatever, then somebody will disappear And you lose if the imposters make up more than half of the remaining folks. The way that they make this single player is that the deliberation, because you're talking with a bunch of fake people, the deliberation is kind of like stat based. And you have different abilities and you unlock kind of different moves, almost like it's a little bit like Danganronpa, where stuff is a little bit like abstracted, you know, with different different mechanics, except in this case, it's almost like a turn based battle. So like, you know, you have stats and, you know, some of your stats make it so that you get a little inkling about whether or not somebody is lying. You get, you know, the ability to, you know, understand if somebody is like backing you up for a good reason or not. I've not seen all of these, but like every different character not only has their own personality, they're like written in different ways. And you have to learn, like who these people are so you can understand when they're acting out of character.
Yeah.
So you're learning that, but you're also kind of improving your own abilities over time because you're gaining experience depending on how loops go. And as you unlock facts about these different characters, it's added to their sheets. Like that is, perpetual, you know, it holds over from loop to loop. And you're also, like in between, like at night after you do your little vote and send somebody off to the hypersleep, you can go and go to one particular room and talk to an individual person for a chance to like learn something about them or learn or like gain their trust. Like people have different different levels of trust with you, you know, or scores. So like you can, you know, if somebody is suspicious of you, you can earn their trust so that they don't continue trying to, you know, space you. Right. Or, you know, put you into hypersleep or what have you.
And are you always so confident that you haven't been taken over?
I have not. So I've only done like five loops so far. And I think I'm still in the tutorial kind of phase of it because it's kind of a complicated game. Yeah. There are different roles, too. Like there's an engineer. And this is just pulled from other social deduction games. There's an engineer who can scan to see if somebody is or isn't a no-show. You know, an imposter. However, the people who are either imposters or accomplices can lie and say that they're the engineer. There are doctors who can do scans to determine if somebody who has been put to sleep was human or not. Stuff like that. But people can lie about being doctors. And even beyond the stats, like you can use social deduction. And also just plain old logic to say, all right, well, two of you can't be doctors. only a human could be a doctor. So if you're still alive at the end of this, I know that you lied and you're probably the imposter. So I will, yeah, you know, be suspicious of you next time. Right.
My first like impulse is like they're going to fill this story with reasons why someone would lie but not be the imposter.
Right.
Have you run into anything like that yet? Or
there's some characters who are like compulsively untrustworthy. Like early on, like there's one character who just looks like a gray. Who just looks like a gray alien. You're just like, you know, you're talking like, wait a minute, one of us might be an alien. And then up comes this portrait of this guy who's just an alien. And you could say, what, like him? And they say, no, he's not an alien. He's just really unfortunate.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, he just looks like that. So it's a little bit like, I think you should leave the hot dog man. Like, we're just trying to figure out who did this. But you know something, he did. I so far he has not been he has not been the imposter for me.
So what is the motivation of the no-show? Like at least in the way you've talked about it to this point, it doesn't sound like it's obviously taking over and impersonating people, but do you have any sense of to what end?
I mean that like that's kind of part of what you're trying to figure out in the meta story. You know that it will be a disaster if the Nosha gets where this ship is going. And so that, mm-hmm. that's part of why you're trying to, you know, to suss them out, not just because they're trying to disappear you for whatever reason. Like, you don't know where people go after they're taken either, or why people who are taken on one loop are back the next time. You know, is that just a gameplay concession, or is there something more going on? Is this like a zero time dilemma kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, there has to be something more. No way. It's just,
yeah. So like, I'm really curious. Like, I want to get to know these characters and, you know, just kind of like understand what motivates them so I can understand why they're, you know, how they're lying. I want to see what new mechanics are brought in as you learn new abilities and stuff. Like, it's a pretty neat game, you know, as far as like a, you know, very mechanics driven visual novel presentation kind of game. Ben has posted a picture of the character in the Discord. Yeah. Shigemichi. He's even holding like a stereotypical sci-fi, like alien ray gun kind of guy.
I would love if the twist was that like he was the villain all the time.
Mm-hmm. Ignore
That'd
me.
Be fantastic. Yeah. What, so this has to have been in development before Among Us got huge, right? Do you get any sense that this is like a cash in on the explosive popularity of that game, or like is this just really, really fortunate?
No, I think it's fortunate. I think that this was where can I find this? Its initial release date was like 2019, so this was before. I mean, it was after Among Us came out, but Among Us is, you know, part of any number of games like Town mm-hmm. of Salem mm-hmm. that is a computerization of social deduction, werewolf mafia style things.
Yeah, but never complete computerization like this.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned the gray
werewolf mafia.
You've mentioned the gray. You've said nothing about the porpoise, and that disturbs me.
I have not gotten to any porpoise.
Okay.
The
art, I don't know if you've seen it, but you have some other interesting non-human characters headed your way, I guess.
I'm curious what happens.
He didn't skip them on porpoise.
Boo.
Is there anything like the dolphins in The Simpsons? You just need to jettison them immediately.
No, yeah, no. Oof. They got grim plans. Yeah. So it's good. I like it so far. It could take a shit later on, but like, you know, I think that I was just a little bit curious how it would work. And so I was like, it's worth buying it to see. You know, it got good reviews too. Like mm-hmm. people have talked, you know, just I read takes that said, yeah, this is actually like really good, you know, worth your attention. And I think it is. You know, it's its own thing. You know, like this is, you know, I don't think this will replace Among Us, because that, you know, in my experience has been like a bonding activity with folks, you know, the times where I've played it, but like as a fun little, you know, story driven RPG that has a different kind of take on turn-based combat and like a different metaphor. This is, something I want to put more time into.
I'm just surprised that you said you didn't like playing multiplayer Among Us.
I like playing multiplayer Among Us. I've had good times doing it. It is stressful to play with other people.
Yeah.
So to arrange to play with other people.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yes. Like being able to get that many people to fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
tough.
Yep. Yeah. Like for Duck Stream, it made a lot of sense because there were lots of people around, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other questions about Nosha? Because that's all that I had in addition to Stardew Valley.
No, sounds really cool.
Cool. Let's see here. Ben, how about you?
All right, you picked a good one, because I'm going to segue into Modded Among Us.
Oh, I've dang. Played
a little bit more of that as well.
Is there a porpoise job?
I did not see a porpoise hat or anything like that. there's a rainbow color that you can pick in one of the mods where your color just cycles through all the available colors. That's kind of fun.
Oh, so that's tricky.
If you see the person at like an instant, you know, you might not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of.
Oh, the guy that I saw was purple. It couldn't have been you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the idea that specifically they change colors when they leave your sight. Like mm-hmm. that would be so devilish.
There's another mod. Some of the streamers I watch, there's like basically like two competing mods out there. There's one by a streamer named Automon. And then there's one other one, which is the one that we're playing. I forget who made it. But with the other one, there's a changeling is like one of the imposters where they can change into a random person. It's either a random person or somebody that they've been close to.
Kind of like the spy from, Team Fortress. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's very interesting because you'll be like, oh, like I saw Cole in Electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, oh, I was nowhere near the entire game. Sorry. Yeah. and so then you're like, oh, okay, well, so then that was the fake. So who, you know, like who else was around there and stuff like that? We haven't been playing with that though. We've been playing the same one that we've been playing before, where the roles that we have are like sheriff who can kill imposters, but if they kill a crew, they die. There's a role swapper. There's a jester who's trying to get voted out. There's a time rewind mechanic, which is fun. There's an engineer who can stop sabotages instantly but gets an arrow pointed to them for the imposters to see. Anyway, so we've kept playing that. The meta is still good. It's like we're trying to figure out more complex ways to try and evade things. So like, for example, there was one round where I was imposter, and there's one of the roles is you can swap with a person. So you immediately take their role, whatever it is, and then they're the swapper class. The problem is swapper class doesn't have any victory conditions, so you don't want to be like stuck with that role. You want to try and switch out of it. But if you switch with an imposter, you just immediately die on the spot, and your head gets cut off or whatever. And so I was an imposter, a swapper tried to swap with me and died right in front of me. And so there's this like awkward 30 seconds where I was trying to make sure there wasn't another sheriff in the game. So I could be like, oh, that must have been the sheriff. Like he misfired against me. But it was like really tough to do the meta like this, you know, and then, you know, people figuring out that there's two possibilities of like why a person could die in front of someone. Like that, and then like, and so then I was trying to rep like the jester to try and make it seem like I wanted to get voted out and that they miskilled with the sheriff, and so it's like, so doing things like that adds like a lot of complexity to it and it makes it fun. Still the same issue that you were mentioning, Cole, where it's like it's tough to get a room to fire this. We had like 6 or 7 people, I think, so that worked. One of the mods is like you can get Mafia, which is like 3 imposters at a time, but you need 10 people to be playing if you want to do that.
Right.
But that has a role where somebody can clean up a dead body with a cooldown.
So they can more like, specifically collude with somebody, like follow and like, yeah, I'll clean up. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Mafia boss or whatever murders people, and that's the only imposter can murder someone. Uh-huh. And then a janitor just run behind them and they like pick up the bodies so people can't report.
So yeah. Does anyone in these games just play as a normie? Like, does anyone not have powers, or does every single person have unique powers?
So you configure the probability of everything. And so like kind of what we've done is the roles that we like, we'll put it 70%. And then the roles that we're like less interested in, like swapper, we don't like as much because it gives people too much information, where it's like you can start hard clearing people when you have swapper, because it's like, oh, I switched with this person, so they were an imposter, and they can't be. Like, if they switch with anyone else, they're still not going to be an imposter. So we put that one at like a lesser probability, like 10 or 20%. And I think Jester we put lower, like maybe 30%, things like that. So it's possible somebody could just be a vanilla crewmate. But if you wanted to play where it's like everybody gets a role, you could move everything up to 100% and do it that way. So
yeah, I imagine psyching myself up to play this way and then being like, oh, I'm regular.
Yeah. It is a look down when you are regular. So but the way we have it configured is you're maybe regular like 1 in 4 times or something like that. It's pretty low.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how do you matchmake on this?
I don't think it works. I don't think matchmaking works. So it's a mod, so like you have to download it from GitHub. And like you basically have a file that you will copy into wherever you're running Among Us at. And then
okay.
And I don't even think it goes to like any special place for a server, but I could be wrong about that. But you just launch the game and invite people as normal. And I don't know what happens when it's like when some people have mods and some people don't. We haven't really experimented with that, but yeah.
So will you ever be able to go back to vanilla Among Us now?
It makes it tough. So outside of like the friend group that I have is there's one server that it's like a friend of a friend's there, and they like fire pretty regularly. Like every other night they'll like fire and stuff. But they play the vanilla version. And so, yeah, like anymore where it's like going to play that, it's like, I think I'll just go play the next game that I'm going to talk about instead. So, yeah, it does make it tougher to go back. So, If we ever play again in the future, I would highly recommend doing the modded version. And it's like not hard at all. It takes like maybe like 5 minutes to set up. It's very low.
I'll say what I said last time. You said easy and GitHub in the same sentence. And
you click a button. You click a link and it downloads files. And then you copy that over.
You fork and compile. You have to load Xcode. Yeah. No, I know your game, dude.
Yeah, I mean, what could be simpler?
Guys, my friends aren't that smart, and they could do this.
I'm sending this, and I'm tattling.
Just kidding.
I was playing with you last night.
Yeah. No. It is easy. I do want to try the other mod, so maybe I might talk people into doing that, and then seeing how that plays. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun though. So. It's a nice refresh of the game. So, yeah.
Cool.
Other game I've been playing. I dipped back into Dyson Sphere Project over the weekend and have been having more fun with that. I've been working towards the goal of actually building a Dyson Sphere. I think I know the last time I talked about it, I was like, I'll pick something up about it and be done with it. But I started doing like more of the higher level strategy, which is basically looking at the entire galaxy map and then like looking at the individual planets that are around and being like, okay, this planet has these resources that are really important. And then this system over here has these resources that are really important. So I'm going to set up like some colonies there, mine out the things that are really important, and then just stick them back in there's like towers that you can build and like shove resources into, and then you can put ships on them so that the ships will transport the resources to anywhere else in the galaxy if there's demand for them. But there's like some things you have to do where it's like you have to build like warpers. It's what you use to do to warp from like galaxy to galaxy. It's just like hyperspeed. It's like in Star Wars or something like that. It's like light speed or whatever. But it's like that for ships, but it's like a resource that you have to generate. But what you can do is you just generate that on one planet. And once you have a good supply of that, whenever you build a tower somewhere else, you just request for that resource, you know, and something will fly it out to you. And then that'll enable all your ships to fly it back out. So there's like small tricks like that you can do. So there's two parts to building the Dyson Sphere. You have to build nodes, which is one set of materials and one set of like buildings that you have to build to launch these like rockets to build them. And then there's solar sails, which are just shooting these metal like sail sheets or whatever that gather power to just kind of orbit the sun. And so I've been doing that one. And so I set it up so it's like maybe firing like 30 per second or so, somewhere around in that neighborhood, which it's really cool to watch because you I built one at one north pole of the planet and then like a ring around the south pole. And so you just see these like almost like turrets like shooting at the sun, but it does a really cool job of like tracking all the ones as they like fire and then tracking the orbits. Like there's a bunch of tiny spheres there when you fly around there and go close. So it does a good job tracking all that. And it actually generates power too. So I think my typical base might be on my home world might be like 10 gigawatts for lack of a better word, or it's something else. It's like megawatts or something like that. But the Dyson Sphere that I have generating now, I think it's either 4 or 40, and that's a big difference. But I think it might be 40 or it could be 400. I can't remember. So I should have thought about that more before speaking. But anyway, it's a source of like more or less free power that you can start to use for other things if you want to. The other thing you can use the Dyson Spheres for is the ray receivers that you make that receive the power for it. There's two different modes. One is receiving power. The other is taking that power and then making like, they call it like something photons, but it's basically stuff to make like antimatter with. And you need that for the last level of tech if you want to make that. I'm not really going down that road yet, I think. But maybe. I think that's like the win condition is you unlock one tech with that resource that you have to make. And then that's like a mission complete part of the tech tree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if I'll do that or not. But anyway, the thing that's interesting, though, is like after looking at the galaxy map now, it feels like more or less kind of small because it's like you have maybe like 36 stars that you can go to on the map. And they have some cool stuff. Like there's like a neutron star somewhere. There's a black hole somewhere that I want to check out, but I haven't gone to yet. So there's like some cool like space anomalies around there too. But by and large, I've kind of looked at the galaxy end to end and kind of seen all the resources that there are there to offer. So the world's starting to feel smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's still a good time though. I need to, so I have it now so I can make like a bunch of sails. I built enough guns to shoot them out that I'm starting to lack in sails now. So I need to extend that line, but yeah, it's been fun. So yeah, cool.
Nice.
I think after I beat it, I'll probably put it down for, I think something that would bring me back to it is if they had multiplayer in the game so you could play with friends.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That would make it a lot of fun, but I have no idea how they programmed the game. So I don't know how easy or hard that is. So,
right.
Yeah. Yep.
Not bad. No, I just, I'm glad to hear that. Not that you got tempted back in, because that's a weird way to put it. but I'm glad to hear that it has the challenge or the appeal has gone from like I'm opening up the rest of the tech tree to like now there is an intrinsic reward in figuring out how to optimize this and in how to reach the scale, because that was definitely something that I went through like in Satisfactory even.
Yeah, it yeah, it's like something, I think it's like this in any of these types of games where it takes you a while to be comfortable with the new like rules that you're in, I guess. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, when you unlock, like in Satisfactory, it's much more discreet, right? Where it's like you have tiers of like what your space elevator's at, right? So it's like when you get to tier 5, here's a whole bunch of new tech, figure it out, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. With this one, like the magnitude jumps are kind of like, I mean, it's all there. Like you unlock texts to get like the warper or whatever, but like, and you gradually unlock texts to have like better fuel consumption or like better fuel recharge and stuff like that. But you know, there's not like a discrete time in the game where they're like, "Hey, go to this other galaxy" or something like that. It's just like when you decide, like, "Oh, maybe I can just jump to that star." It's like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Now you can go anywhere because now you've like thought of it and you've unlocked it for yourself. So.
Right.
So nice. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Not bad. Anything else besides Dyson Sphere Project and Among Us mods?
Nah, Dyson Sphere Project does take a decent amount of time, unfortunately. That's one thing that they could actually improve a little bit is, I think there's a mod for this too, is you start getting to the point where you're making these like really large scale structures. It's similar to like Factorio, but they don't have the blueprint feature that Factorio does.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, because that's like pretty critical. Because like what you do is you're like, okay, I built this one thing that's really nice. I'm going to literally like drag over, copy this, and then paste it somewhere else as long as I have the resources to do that. You can't do that in this game, unfortunately. So like,
oh, no.
That's what kind of makes it a little bit of a slog, is like every time you want to make like a new kind of like processing to make a certain material, you have to go through and lay down like each factory, select what you're making. There's a way to copy that so you don't have to select the recipe for it if you don't want to, but like the pullers, the arms that are pulling in resources and putting them out and stuff, you have to like lay those down for every single one. There's a mod that will copy the arms for you to make that a little bit easier.
Okay.
But I do not have that, so it's still tough times.
Mm.
For my robot.
It's funny how much variability there is in just kind of UI smoothness between this kind of game.
Yeah. Yeah. They both, like between it and between those and Satisfactory, they have very different presentations.
Since you would expect this would be a game made by people that love to optimize things.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I mean, the game is still in early access too, right?
It's not finished.
Yeah. Also, I'll share one story too. I had a moment of panic where I was on this like secondary planet that I'd been building a lot of stuff on. It's not my home planet, but it was starting to have as many resources as my home planet. And I checked my fuel consumption, or like how much fuel's left. Like your robot has like a fuel supply, so you like shove, you can shove like trees or branches or grass in there if you want, and that'll supply them with energy, like fuel. Later on, you can put like oil if you want, or you can actually build like more refined fuels and stuff like that. And so you eventually get this like, I don't even know what it's called, but it's like this like canister of fuel that's like very long lasting, and it's like that's kind of what you go with towards the end game or whatever. I noticed when I opened up the fuel container, I only had like one left, and like you need probably close to one to like warp back home between the two planets or whatever. So I was like, all right, I'll try it out. And so I warped back and then ran out of fuel like halfway between it. And you just stop and you're in the blackness of space and I had no fuel, there's no way to get. And the thing that hurts even more is all the ships that I have that are warping between them, you can see them flying by. It's like, hey, stop, we're going to pick you up.
Can I sketch behind this?
So I had to load an autosave. Thankfully, it sent me back or so. But then I had an interesting conundrum, because even on the autosave, I didn't have enough fuel at that point. So I had to figure out what resources I could request from my home world so that I could get enough fuel to go back home. And so I had to request oxygen, and then I had enough of another resource that I could make a fuel source out of that, that I could like find my way home. And then like the first thing I did was that really durable fuel, like set it up on an antenna or whatever so that it can launch anywhere in the galaxy. And like,
never insurance again. Process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honey, did you get the groceries? Well, I got them. And then I had to burn them to get home.
Dang it, I Martian'd myself again.
But yeah, it was a very cool feeling. Even though like there's not much you can do gameplay to get out of it or whatever, you're just kind of boned. But it is a very like cool and visceral and scary feeling to just run out of fuel in the middle of the darkness of space and just be all alone.
Oh,
yeah, that's something I really would have expected from Eve.
From what?
Eve Online.
Do they? Well, can you do that there too?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's the type of shenanigans I would expect from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Cool. Dennis, round us out.
Yeah. So I dipped my toe into Valheim.
Ooh.
And so Ben, I was surprised to hear that you haven't played this week, but I have a couple friends that had gotten together and gotten a private server. And they're like, yeah, you can join. And that was enough to put me over the edge of like, all right, if I know this group is going to be hanging out on that server regularly, and it's kind of our space, I'll do that. And so my experience with the game, I think, has been a little bit unique because it's a private server and because these guys play a lot. I haven't done a single boss yet. I have not done any crafting whatsoever.
You've just been using their stuff.
But yeah, like the most of the mats are already at the base. And so it's like, all right, take that, grab a couple, grab a troll cape out of there and grab some bronze stuff out of there and yada, yada. So this has been a wood chopping simulator for me. it's really interesting. Like everyone in this group has kind of gravitated just towards the piece of the game that they are most interested in. Be that, one guy is really into the architectural, like building the fort up really tall. The other person is very focused on defense. The other person is focused on exploration. And I guess I would say I've been focused on derping primarily is how I would characterize
finding your sea legs.
Yeah, you know, just kind of wandering around.
Puttering. Like, what you doing? Yeah, puttering. Yeah.
Puttering. Yeah, so basically I've just picked a rarer resource to focus on each time I log in. And it's like, okay, you know, I think it's like pure wood or pretty wood or something like that, like the highest quality wood or certain ores or what have you. And it's like, I'll just build up that resource while I'm on. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really nice Zen experience. Like, yeah. Hunting, like literally like taking a boat down the shore and looking for birch trees dot along. And there's no UI to indicate them. You just look for trees with lighter bark, you know, pull over, chop those down. Cause the birch trees are rarer and give you that like nice wood. Mm-hmm. I get wood from birch trees is what I'm saying.
What else did you get from the leaves? Beer, birch beer is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really cool time, but yeah. Probably completely different than what most people are getting out of the game.
It's funny. You guys have made like a little commune almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. Although there have been quirks with it. And this is apparently something lots of people have experienced. Our boats keep on running off.
Hmm? Oh, and yeah.
Like eloping or what?
Can't birds pick them up?
So it was someone said, oh, it's because if a bird lands on a boat, then the bird registers as the driver from the boat and then it flies away. And the boat flies away.
Wait, so dinosaurs took your boat?
Wait, chickens took your boat?
Chickens took my boat. I'm not ashamed to say it. But no, so that actually turned out to be false. That was just like conjecture, and the devs confirmed that was not true. However, people have seen flying boats. So there's a rare bug where, you know, one object can get another object's data accidentally. Mm. And so people have seen boats flying through the air.
Yeah.
And that's what happened versus a bird, you know, landing on the boat. So that like, but then the, you know, the other thing is like you can, I guess the tide kind of goes in and out, and then there's waves in motion, really kind of precisely modeled when you're on the sea, like the water ebbs and flows and acts like water, I guess. Hmm. And that can kind of dash your boat on the rocks if you don't park it correctly.
Okay.
Like you park where you think you're fine, tide goes out, and then the waves just kill your boat.
Is there a way to build any kind of like pier or jetty like near your settlement to where it won't be like dash into rocks, or do you have to run the boat up on the shore every time?
I don't know, man. I'm just the birch guy.
it's above my pay grade.
Yeah, I think you can build docks, and there is like a safe way to anchor them and everything. I honestly don't know what it is. But then also mobs out in the wild, if your dock isn't kind of sealed off from the rest of the world, mobs will just go straight for anything you build. And so we've lost a couple boats to that. And like you can go find the materials in the shallow water where it gets destroyed, pick it back up, and you've got everything you need to rebuild a boat. And okay. So our solution was just to have a workbench out on our dock, which means that you're always in range to like be able to just instantly rebuild the boat. But a couple of times they've even been too far out at sea, or there's some black magic going on with the server where we will lose boats when people log out. And then like those are precious items. Those aren't cheap. So that's been the one frustration.
Right.
But again, like you know, everyone is kind of pooling resources enough that it's never been too much of an inconvenience.
Is this early access still?
Yes, gotcha. Very much so. To the extent that like several of the biomes are like, well, you know, there's not much here yet.
Gotcha.
There's no boss here. There's no like high level. And Ben, you talked about this. You're trying to summon and kill these epic monsters in the Viking afterlife. There's just, you know, there's a couple even placeholder spots for those, at least if you run with the one monster per biome theory. Yeah. So I've chopped down a lot of birch trees. I decided to focus on spears as my weapon, because it's a good, you know, hand to hand weapon, but you also have the option to throw it. And so I'll just keep like two or three spears on me at all times. So I always have the option to like throw what I'm using and then switch over to another one. And they travel slower and not as far as arrows, just like you'd expect. So connecting with them is really satisfying. Mm. Yeah, so I've been doing that. And then the one other thing I've done is grave robbing.
Are these graves that spawn in the environment, or are these?
Yeah. So there are burial grounds kind of dotted throughout the landscape, and they function as the dungeons, the instances of this world. And in them are materials that factor somehow into summoning the boss for that area. Okay. Again, I would know, I haven't been there for a boss, right, but I do know those materials are valuable. So a couple times I've just gone down into one of these burial sites, and there's always skeletons down there, and it's a little bit more difficult, and just farmed the materials that you get down there, which is fun. It made me think, though, David, as you were talking about the forest and kind of using darkness, Valheim is also a very dark game, lighting wise. Like at night, if I don't have the living room dark, it's very hard to see. And then these burial grounds are all underground and are hard to see in. So theoretically, you use a torch to light it up. Mm-hmm. However, like I know I'm completely exploring this thing anyway, and any skeletons I encounter, I kind of want them on top of me, so I don't care about being surprised by them. So I just forgo it and follow a wall. Like that's my solution to the dark.
That was basically the same for the forest. Yep.
Yep. Which is an interesting strategy. It's really fun to just like, you know, like I said, I just pick an objective, usually a rare resource every time I go in. And oftentimes it's like, oh yeah, I ran past that burial site last time, but I was focused on birch, so I marked it on the map. I should go back there. Mm-hmm. And it's like making sure I have the equipment to go back there and hike on out. The most interesting kind of story or experience the game has generated is that you can usually take portals to different parts of the world if you build them at both ends. And so since my friends had built portals already, I just kind of can hop all over the place. Mm-hmm. But you can't ferry certain ores through those portals. Those have to be manually brought back to your base.
Okay.
Like birch?
No, birch will go. Birch travels. It's just
Ben, in the same way that birds are, you know, chickens, or chickens are birds, wood is not an alloy.
It's not a mineral. So this will serve you well in life.
I want to argue, but I can't.
I'm learning so much tonight, guys.
What about petrified wood?
Yep.
You found a loophole.
So I logged in this one time, and I knew we had mined a bunch of ore at this other side of this portal. And I was like, you know what, this time I'm going to take a boat. It was my first time taking out a boat. And I'm just going to sail on out. Haven't, you know, done that yet. I'm just going to sail on out, grab that ore and bring it back. Very simple. But it wound up being a lot more of an experience than I thought. So first off, you have to sail through this kind of passage between two seas, whatever you call that. It's probably a fjord. Felt like a fjord.
Isthmus.
Yeah, sure.
Causeway, channel, strait. It'd be a strait.
Of those maps where literally every section of the world is represented.
Yeah, this is water that connects to larger bodies
of water.
Yeah, it's a strait. Yeah.
Yeah, I think straight, I go. Think an isthmus, that's where you go to find deep ones.
No, I think you're thinking of Innsmouth. Isthmus is a long stretch of land that separates two seas. Uh-huh. I was confused.
So it's all right. Well, this was a strait that wanted to be an isthmus, like is way more shallow than I anticipated going in.
An aspirational isthmus. Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of brute forced my way across it. Like, okay, mm-hmm. These waves are not great, but I like got far enough in that it was going to take so long to back out and find another way around that I'm just like, I can make it. And I did. So go there to get the copper and load that up. And then I realize as I'm headed back towards this this strait, boats have health points. Boats can be destroyed.
Okay.
I wasn't really thinking about that when I kind of forced my way across the strait. Mm. And I had like 2 hit points left on the boat.
Okay.
And because I'd loaded down with copper, I didn't really have, or excuse me, that's not the way. So I didn't have the means to repair the boat because you need a workbench nearby to repair the boat. And I was way off in the middle of nowhere.
Can you gather the materials in the wilderness to make a...
Yes.
Okay.
But that would require me to get close enough to land, risking hitting the boat.
Right. So does the boat just like disintegrate and drop you into the water along with everything that was loaded
on
it?
Correct. And if you're in deep enough water, you just lose what you're carrying.
Okay.
And I like this was like the entire team had spent all this time mining this vein of copper.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh shit. And to cap it all off, the wind decided it wanted to blow directly opposite of the direction I wanted to go.
Okay.
And this, to go with the really accurately modeled water, there is a ton of wind physics with sailing in this game. Like, to, you know, you can even sail into the wind up to a certain point, but if you're trying to go head on into it, you just need to, you know, hoist up your get rid of your sails and use your rudder to row. And this was not a close place, right? Like, there was a reason it was like we hadn't run this oar back yet. And I spent like, it was probably a good 20 minutes, not exaggerating, just rowing my way miserably and carefully, going the long way around, not through the strait again.
Oh, wow.
To get back to base. And I almost cried when our base came back into view. I was like, I made it. Because we had that workbench out on the pier, so I could still be out in the water where I felt safe, and hop out, just stand on the boat and be able to repair from the boat without needing to get out and
gotcha.
And fix or and create a workbench.
Was there,
but like,
again, forgive me for asking these questions, was there no way to like find sufficiently shallow enough water to do a strategic crash where like, where the resources would still be there while you went in and got the wood and whatever you needed to make the workbench?
We probably could have, or I probably could have. Like if I had gone, like, commit to the straits and just go in where I know it's going to be messy.
Yeah.
But, you know, to go with the straits there's always like predators or goblins or whatever, that you got to deal with. The other thing was I think that was just before we started losing boats, and we just hadn't really sussed out how all that stuff works yet. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
No one had the encyclopedic knowledge of like, if I destroy this in the water, does it go? Does it stay?
Yeah. How shall I do this water have to be? You were literally just trying to get back to the thing that you knew for sure would be safe.
Exactly. The 100% play was to repair the boat from range of our dock.
Right.
But just getting there was painful.
Oh yeah.
And I loved every second of it. Like, just this crazy, or again, completely organic story that comes out of me popping on and being like, I feel like being a copper runner today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a grand adventure, like being the copper runner, being the birchwood chopper, being the grave robber. You just kind of pick a role for yourself, and it's a wonderful time. So I have
never
not touched...
catch me copper.
Yeah. Oh, pirate lingo. That does make that sentence more complex.
Was it? That was like gangster. That was like Chicago.
So you'll never catch me copper talking to the cop, or you'll never catch me copper as in my copper as a pirate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it scans. I'll allow it.
Yeah. So I've really enjoyed this game. And I've done pretty much nothing that is central to this game.
Mm-hmm.
But you've done nothing to hurt your team as well.
Except for very nearly lose them hours and hours of progress.
But he didn't do that.
But he didn't. Almost. Yeah. No,
I'll tell you what, the first time we lost a boat, because we're texting about it. Someone's like, hey, I'm on right now, that we boats are gone, we're gonna have to build new ones, no big deal. Like, it's all good. I was like, oh, I just loaded up on the fine wood. You can take it out of this locker. And like being able to just be like, yeah, I got you. Felt good. Felt like contributing.
Yeah. No.
So
go ahead, David.
If you like this, you really should check out Eve, because, you know,
Yeah, mindless, sure.
Mindless, grinding and ludicrously high risk is pretty much its thing.
But I haven't been burnt by the risk yet, and that's the magic of Valheim.
That's the thing.
I will hate this game the second I crash that ship.
And then that's when you quit. Mindless grinding part of the game. Where can I get more of that?
Yeah.
Oh man, doing a good job of selling that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Valheim. Any questions or thoughts, Ben? I don't know if you've even touched it since you last talked about it.
I have not. I don't know if circling the drain is the right word for it. It's like I'm waiting to find somebody to play with, I guess. I might jump back in, but right now I'm probably gonna do Dyson Sphere over Valheim if I was like gonna pick a game at night to play. So but that'll probably change in a week or two, I think.
Well, if you want to join a private server, you're welcome to. But since I've taken the woodchopper, grave robber, copper guy, all we have left is concubine.
Oh my gosh! Oh, wait, am I the source or the wait? Which end of the concubine am I on?
You have to join to find out.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
It's never a good answer when they say it like that.
you make it sound really fun. Even just the idea of playing with a group of people and just being able to find your niche. That sounds nice to me.
Yeah, that's a huge factor. Like, it is fun to hang out with friends. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's half the battle of enjoying Valheim. Other than that, I've just done a lot more mapping in Trackmania. And nothing too crazy to say. As I'm better understanding that like creation platform and just the kind of spatial language of the game, the speed at which I'm creating different maps is going up. So that's I'm having to invest less time to get what's in my head onto the screen.
That's good.
And that feels good.
Neat.
Most recently I did a not a full speed map, but a map that's intended to be more kind of high speed, where it's two laps, but the first lap you just kind of drive normal. The second lap, right at the finish line, if you have speed, you can jump to an earlier part of the track, and then you race the entire track backwards with all of these crazy cuts and jumps to get around faster than you could on your first lap. So that's been a lot of fun. The only problem is I'm to the point where I need to like start driving the GPS and the author time, which means I have to do well the thing that I created, and it's a little bit beyond me at the moment. So like I can get every piece of it clean, but to put it all together into one perfect run,
right,
for time or for showcasing the map, is proving difficult.
Yes,
but the concept is really fun.
Visualize then actualize.
Then fly off into space because you took that corner wrong.
Yep, that sounds like Trackmania to me, based on what I've seen.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's me.
All right. That was a nice meaty grind.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff there.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I think most people, if you're into this network, agree that a game just being difficult doesn't make it good. And so I wanted to know what games are super easy and super fun.
Yeah, this is a good question. So I'll get started here. We don't have very many, so this will be a shorter one here. I'll get us started here. Hey, Dottie, how's it going, girl?
Oh, Dottie answered. Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, what did Dottie say?
She said
lacerating coal.
No, she. I got her. I got her nails trimmed at the vet, so she has. She has been less pointy than usual, which is good. Yeah. Okay. Callum says the early Lego games are this for me. The later ones got too expensive or too expansive, rather, for my taste. But the early ones are simple, no fail state, and great to play couch co-op. I have such a distinct memory. I think it's like Lego Star Wars 2. Ben, you downloaded a demo of this when we were in the dorms.
running
around felt like a very long time just running around Mos Eisley as Chewbacca, yanking arms off, just like,
oh, that's a rite of passage,
yanking
right there.
Those off. Yeah, and I remember that being very fun. But yeah, Lego's a good answer for this.
Yeah, I think there's a shelf life for those games being fun in terms of seeing all the stuff that you're going to need a different character with a different power to come back around and get. Because, mm-hmm. Playing the Star Wars ones for the first time, it's like, oh, this is so cool. Like, oh, there's all these areas I didn't realize. And then playing any other game as they put out more in the Harry Potter and Pirates of the Caribbean and everything like that, you're just walking around being like, okay, I'm going to have to come back for that. And I'm going to have to come back for that. And, yeah. And it's like a Metroid just done out to the nth level.
Right. I mean, and then done to the craziest degree with like a universe or whatever, where you had to get like, you know, individual like sets and you would put it on the little portal. It was like the little Skylanders alike. Yeah. Let's see here. David, what does Warren say?
Warren says the Forza Horizon series. It's arcade style as opposed to simulation like the main Forza games. There are a bunch of different race types, and you can mostly focus on the type you enjoy. There's various difficulty levels as well as a rewind feature you can use for extra help if you miss a turn or get slammed into an obstacle. By far my favorite racing franchise ever. Anyone with any love for arcade racing games should check it out on Game Pass.
You know what? That sounds nice. It's been a while since I played a racing game. The last racing game I played was the Burnout Paradise Remaster.
Is the rewind feature like the big thing that Forza Horizon came out with, like in the original one? I remember a racing game where they made a big to-do about being able to be like, nope, I didn't hit the current turn that way.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I can't say for sure. It's been forever. I've never really paid attention to Forza because I never had the Microsoft systems where the good Forzas came out. Yeah. But that sounds fun. Ben, what does Rookie say?
Rookie says, if you can read text, move a mouse, and make decisions, preferably bad ones, you can finish Disco Elysium rather quickly too, if you make bad decisions. This game has an incredibly low skill floor and an incredibly high enjoyment ceiling. It's my go-to recommendation for non-gamers to see what this whole playing Nintendo thing is all about.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
I died of a heart attack so many times, like in the first 10 minutes of that game, the first time I played it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people's earliest experience involves dying while trying to turn on a light. So, yeah, didn't happen to me, though. So, therefore, it doesn't matter to me that it happened to anyone else because it must not have happened. Yeah. No, that's good, though. I mean, Disco Elysium, most things are fail forward in that, right? Mm-hmm. Like having a good DM.
Yeah.
I dig it. Dennis, what does Sam say?
Yeah, Sam says Katamari Damacy is only remotely challenging if you're going for high scores or 100% collection, but I've still played through it countless times over the years. Perfect game for when you're way too high. Yeah, I think that game was developed when they were way too high.
I think it's a little bit too pure for that. Also, the time crunch would be way too much for me if I was high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would need like a free roam.
my compulsion towards 100% collection makes this hard to just take at face value, but I like just kind of rolling around and picking stuff up doesn't take too much.
Wait, no? Isn't the entire point of this game 100% collection?
No.
Like just literally collect eventually. The entire universe.
Yeah.
Eventually. I mean, like in the first game, it's mostly like make a Katamari, make a ball that is, you know, at least this diameter and composed of these things. So it's not like
the point of every Devil May Cry game is to get a triple S stylish run on a level, but
yeah.
you don't have to, and most likely you won't.
Mm-hmm. I will say any of the like, you know, cinematic adventure game kind of things, like I was going to say, oh, you can play like any classic adventure game that has, you know, as long as you're okay using a, using a walkthrough, which feels a little bit like cheating, but honestly, it's true. You know, just like play until you hit a wall, and then, you know, get over it, get over that wall, doing whatever you need to, and then go see more. But like, even games, you know, Telltale's Walking Dead and any of those, I was thinking of like Life is Strange is not a particularly difficult game, but it's very rewarding. You know, like these are games that don't, and I know you don't like the ending, David, any of those games do not demand an awful lot of you by performance, but there is still input and interesting and rewarding play that goes on. Right.
Yeah. The difficulty in those games is kind of your stressing over decisions or emotional investment.
Yes.
I feel like we need the sound clip call out of context, you know, just play until you reach a wall and then just get over it.
that's why I corrected myself, because I realized I sounded kind of insensitive to it. It's like, hey, get over it, you dummy. You're stuck on a puzzle. Just learn to be good at games. Obviously not what I mean or believe, use a hint system, use the universal hint system. People still update that. It's good. What?
Oh, nothing.
No, universal hint system. It's a, like, it's an actual thing. Go look it up. It's like very limited hints that you, it's kind of like self-serve kind of thing. It's one of the best ways, to like get through adventure games and stuff. Especially older ones that might be a little bit less friendly.
Yeah, I haven't interacted with it a ton, but every time I've interacted with it, I'm like, man, that is really thoughtful the way they put that together.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here, David. How about you? What's an easy game that you think is really fun?
So the one I'd go with, I'm actually kind of surprised didn't come up. Prince of Persia.
Oh, Sands of Time.
Yeah, no, not Sands of Time. Sands of Time is a great game, but then the reboot where you literally cannot die.
Oh, because your magic friend pulls you up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, literally, if you take a wrong jump, she'll, like, you know, kind of reverse time you back, or mm-hmm. if you, you know, are about to get killed by an enemy in combat, same thing. But it makes the game much more about the... you know, the puzzles, and honestly, mostly the two characters bickering.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Nice. God, that's a pretty game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a study in the whole, like, this art design will last way longer than realistic graphics.
Mm-hmm. Photorealism is like drinking salt water. Isn't that right, Dottie? That's right. That's right, isn't it? And she's biting me. Okay. Ben, how about you? Easy game you think is real fun?
The ones I was thinking of are the ones that have really controller schemes. So, I'm thinking of Journey, and I'm thinking of Inside as games that I can put my parents in front of them, like sit them down with a controller, and they can figure it out enough to actually play the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're also like play tested to shit so that, you know, like it's very easy to figure out what the puzzle is, kind of, in a sense, or it's very intuitive to figure out the solution.
Yeah, edges are sanded off. Nice.
Those are good ones.
And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, for me, and I know someone's gonna be like, play on 200cc and then come talk to me, but for me it's Mario Kart.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, at least, you know, at the level we're playing it, I can get around in my sleep and not really have much trouble. And I talked last week about how, you know, they even have the auto steer and auto accelerate features that you can turn on. And I've gotten to the end of a race and just had a blast playing and hanging out doing couch co-op, and then realized I'd accidentally had those settings on for myself.
Okay.
Like, man, I did really good.
Where, you know, since you know, Luke and Milo use it, me and Jen don't, but we, you know, who's player 1, 2, 3, and 4 gets jumbled every time.
Yeah.
I've accidentally raced with those on and just, you know, not really been able to tell the difference.
That's is there an override? Like, it might be that, like, you know, if you don't touch anything, it goes, but then if you do press the buttons, then it accepts that or honors your input.
It will, to a point it will, and then it will stop you from doing anything catastrophic.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So yeah, you are guiding something on rails, rather than completely in control.
It kind of sounds like having, like the bumpers up and you go bowling.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean your kids are playing like without any help and then like still winning?
we will comment on that. So randomly though, the one milestone we reached in Mario Kart is I forget if it was Luke or Milo, but one of our kids beat Jen.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that was a momentous occasion. There was much celebration.
Oh, nice.
Yes. But yeah, so Mario Kart for me.
Did Jen get real insecure and like get in their face and say, well, I can drive a real car. Can you? Huh?
I carried you for 9 months.
Yeah.
I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Yeah. Blue shell arguments. Yeah, no, she'll be much more likely to get mad at me as I incessantly rub it in all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
But very easy game, or a game that makes a lot of accommodations. So maybe accommodating is even the better word here.
Yeah.
Extremely accommodating game and still a really good time.
Nice. Well, this was a good question, Dennis.
Yeah. Fun to talk about.
Yeah. If you would like to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. Dennis, what new history has been brought up about XCOM?
Yeah, apparently they're doing a book about XCOM called Monsters in the Dark, a la Masters of Doom. And that's, you know, it's on Kickstarter right now, but they've kind of given a couple tidbits from it. One of them is that XCOM almost wasn't. The game was in development when the studio changed hands, and the new owners were kind of looking for projects to cancel and told the team, like, hey, stop working on XCOM, shutter XCOM.
Oh, geez.
However, the team was very passionate about the project and was like, one of the people was also like the financial keeper of of the studio. And we're basically like, hey, this, you know, we can basically do this pretty easily without attracting attention. let's keep on working on it.
It's my favorite stories. They're just like, let's ignore that person and keep doing the right thing.
They won't keep checking on us. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, this is like the weird side of like, you could say, oh, let's work on this for free. I don't think it was quite that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so then, you know, a bit of time later, as they're drawing to a close on developing it, completely under the table, out of sight, the new owners come back and they're like, hey, we need to fill a gap in our schedule. Like, we need a game ASAP in the next quarter.
fucking publishers. Come on. Yeah.
And do they say who got the bonus?
Yeah, no, they do not. We all got XCOM, and that is fantastic, because they were like, well, that thing you told us not to do, we did. So let's proceed to launch one of the most notorious franchises in turn-based strategy.
Yeah.
So oh, really, we're, really
we're
cool.
All, we're all the richer for it. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness instead of permission, baby.
This started as a complete passion project, and I think that ethos shows throughout the franchise. Kind of cool to see that at its roots.
That rules.
I'm passionate about seeing the human race destroyed.
Yeah.
Any alien?
Why are all the civilians getting killed named after my manager?
Yeah.
He's named in the chrysalis level.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, man, that level. Ugh. By the skin of my teeth. By the skin of my teeth every time, the chrysalid level. Mm-hmm. Speaking of publishers being dicks, I've
got segue to anything.
Yeah. I've got one.
You're not narrowing it down.
No, I was going to get more specificity. That's the way these things work. It wasn't just, yeah. chickens are not segues, Dennis. I mentioned this story a little while ago. The Sinking City is a very good, it is a good, I don't know about very good. It is an interesting and worth playing horror mystery investigation game made by Frogwares, the developer who makes the Sherlock Holmes games. It had recently gotten into basically pulled from every digital storefront as the developer Frogwares started having disputes with their publisher, a French company called Nacon. That Frogwares said that Nacon has basically just not given them the money that their contract told them to. Yeah, so, you know, it was very difficult to get a hold of this game for a little while, and it's sporadically been going on and off of different markets in the past. The most recent development of this is that Nacon put a version of the game up on Steam, and Frogwares said, yeah, that's bullshit. They put a pirated version of our game up on Steam, and they're taking all the money from it. We're not getting any royalties off of that whatsoever. So Frogwares issued a DMCA request to have their own game pulled from Steam in order to make sure that Nacon would not be getting money off of distributing it on a platform. So this is complicated, and it has an awful lot to do with intellectual property law, and it's very difficult to determine what is going on because just both parties, there is no chance of them reaching any kind of agreement. Like, there's just no common ground possible.
It's war now.
Yeah. It's been war for about a year. Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to say. My sympathy generally will be with a developer. Rather than a publisher, because they make the thing, you know, but regardless of my own kind of sympathies, I'm bringing this up to say that is weird. You know, that is a notable instance where a developer issues a DMCA to have their own game pulled off of a storefront. But also to clarify to people, Sinking City is a good game to play, but as a PSA, Frogwares has published it themselves on the PS5, the Nintendo Switch, although that's not a good version. It runs very poorly, and all PC storefronts that are not Steam. So if you're going to be getting this, get it on like the Epic Game Store or on PS5. If you are only able to download and get to this game on the PS4, Xbox One, or, you know, used to be Steam, don't do that, because those are the ones where it is still up as published by Nacon, and the money would go to them. So,
and it sounds like this game is in the range where you can afford to wait until it's available in a way that will benefit the developer.
Yeah, there's no hurry, I think, to play this unless you are clamoring for an open world Lovecraftian investigation game. Which you might be. It's an interesting game.
This might just be the developer, but this game looks L.A. Noir as hell.
Specifically the main character with his hat and stuff. It's a little bit earlier. It's set about like 20 years before L.A. Noir. It's not a prequel or anything. It's just this is the 20s.
Now I want a Lovecraft themed LA Noir game. I have to try and figure out if a person's a great old one or not.
Yep.
Your tentacles twitched.
So that's my story. Don't get it on the PS4 or the Xbox One if you have misgivings about the money going to Nacon, which I do. David, what's going on in the world of video game movie adaptations?
Yeah, so they are making a live-action version of Dynasty Warriors. And, you know, this could have just been literally any live-action, you know, Romance of the Three Kingdoms. But no, this is going with straight up the Dynasty Warriors, like, dude swings a guandao, and, you know, like, 50 people go flying and, you know, thrusts a spear and it causes an explosion and, you know, those sorts of things.
Riding your horse across rooftops, I see.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people waves in this game, if that makes sense.
Oh, gosh. Bump somebody with the blunt end of a Naginata and it causes a mushroom cloud. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
This looks dope.
Is this an American company, who is producing this?
I'm not sure. So all of the dialogue and the subtitles on the trailer video are Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So that suggests Chinese to me.
The director is from Hong Kong.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Yeah. Ah, that's cool. I'd rather have a Chinese Dynasty Warrior movie if I was going to watch that kind of thing than an Americanized, you know, kind of whitewashed one.
Yeah.
What's funny? That would just be kind of funny, though, right?
It'd be very funny, but I think it would be dumb. It'd be dumber than even just the inherent concept of making a Dynasty Warriors movie.
I was going to suggest Tom Cruise as being in it, but then I was like, oh, I could just go Samurai, and that's that movie.
Yeah. exactly The Last Samurai.
Yeah, no. I'm interested to see how far they take it, because I think the most recent Dynasty Warriors, you can literally play a dude with a chain gun.
Cool. Oh.
Tight.
Yeah. Huh. I'm curious.
Does a chain gun become more effective than various magical energies? I feel like that's a delicate balance to strike.
There are a lot of dead wizards who probably have an answer to this.
Yeah, I can shoot lightning from my fingertips, but chain gun.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably a lot of dead wizards or a lot of young adult fantasy writers probably have an answer to that. Ben, do you have a story?
I do not have a story.
Attaboy. How do y'all feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
The credit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Level. It's also worth saying that when I was looking at the stories, I noticed Jala shared a bunch of pictures of her doing splits from her splits class. That looks painful.
It's the faces she's making. I want to create an emoji set from these various faces.
A lot of arduous focus, let's say.
Yes.
But you don't have access to that. That is our. You probably do. She maybe put them up on social media. Regardless, that is neither here nor there, because now is the admin time, where we say you know the stuff that you can do, such as ratings and reviews and Patreon and all of that. And David has just shared a screenshot of the chain gun in Dynasty Warriors. Fun.
Excellent.
is there anything admin wise that I'm forgetting? People know the score.
Wear masks, get vaccines.
Yes. I need to check my health portal and see if I can just get a date range for when I'm going to get mine, because I am champing at the bit. Champing at the bit for that shot. Cool. So I've been Cole Ross. You can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia. You can find me, let's go on Twitch this week at Deck of Wonders, all one word.
I'm David Meismith. Just here.
I'm Ben Merkel, and you can find me at The Level Podcast at DuckVTV.
That's an email address. I don't know that that is the email address for this show.
That's the website, DuckVTV.
DuckVTV.
A literal at, not a symbol at.
Yes.
You can just do thelevelpodcast.com. I think it'll work.
Thelevelpodcast.com, yes. Stick around for some titles. I have four titles here. I have New Sun. I have You Better Watch Out for the Werewolf Mafia. I have Chickens Took My Boat. And I have Birch Travels. Okay. Who else has titles?
Good.
So I have...
Go ahead.
Oh, gone.
Go ahead, David.
I have three. I say it's safe because they let me do it.
Okay.
I Martianed myself again. And chickens took my boat.
Nice.
Okay.
I had Newson Stout as like Newson.
Okay.
Not quite sure how you reflect that consistently, but yeah, uh-huh. Newson is there. I also had the trees had it coming.
Okay. I wanted to make a Rush joke, but I couldn't get there in time. Is that all you had, Dennis?
That is what I had.
And Ben.
I had chickens or birds. I had strategic crash. And I had, which end of the concubine am I on?
Am I on? Chickens took my boat is the vote winner.
Yeah, I like that.
Any qualms with chickens took my boat?
I do have qualms with chickens taking my boat.
Well, I mean, you're stuck.
We don't have to appease them anymore.
Nope. They don't have power over you. Oh, cool. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to go to sleep. I've been up. Dottie had the first appointment slot at the vet this morning. So we've been awake for a long time. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But she's just sitting here looking at me. She's been nice and chill. She's
plotting her next move, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now that she doesn't have weapons to attack you with.
Yeah. Well, she's got her teeth. She's got teeth. Aw. Cool. Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Good hanging.
Yeah.
Have a good night. Have a good week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.